ask thy name this morning, we glorify thee, Lord. For all that you have done for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord, paying a debt that we could not pay, a debt that we owe, and there's no way that we could pay that debt. But our Lord Jesus paid it all. And we want to thank you, Father. Help us then to realize, O Lord, how privileged people we are, and that we always should be grateful, Father, and to remember these things. We approach you this morning, Father, in thy word, and we pray that, Lord, you break it down and help us to understand and appreciate, O Father, what your word means to us, Lord. We thank you for today. We ask for your grace now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we live in a world that is turning itself upside down. In the last week or so, in the news, in the paper, you read about it, something very horrible, and it is not the first time we read about such news. A couple having 13 children, how they were locked up in a home, not fed well, and yet they fed the dog, and hide it from the people, mistreat their children, 13 children, they are all flesh and blood. They think about it. This thing has been, other cases, there have been other cases where they were even kept underground, and the father raped the daughters. You know, Bible tells us this, that the world will keep up in sin. The world will become more evil, more wicked. And even yesterday, you read about the news, even today's paper, about Singapore Airlines. All they think about is making money, and even when you book a ticket online, automatically now they give you an insurance. You pay for it, but they won't tell you that. You have to opt it out. Where the original is that you want it, then you just tick on it. But now, no, everything is automatic. People are thinking about money. British Airlines, what happened to it? Bed bugs on the seats and all these things, are they cleaning it up? What's going on in the world today? People are money-minded? Sex oriented, evil thoughts in their mind, in their hearts. This thing is going on and on, and we are living the last day. You know, last night I was, I got up in the night as well, you know, being there, I'm already 17. if I drink too much water, I would get up in the night, maybe at least once, sometimes even up to 3 times, you get 2 hours sleep or 3 hours, you get up and you have to go and pass it off. So when I got up after 2 hours of running Bennett, I didn't find immediate sleep, but my mind started to go worrying. And it goes back to my early childhood days. You know, because I have prepared this message, I was just wanting to give an example of what's happening to the churches. So my mind went back to my childhood day. I remember when I was born in 48. Back then, of course, you can see that Singapore was not what is you see today. And that time was less than 2 million people. Mind you. Okay? And in the 50s, when I was young, of course, you know, my father was a trader, and he had shares and stocks. And he had his own little shop, a grocery shop, in Cleaning Road. If you know where Cleaning Road is, and you've been to Cleaning Road coffee shop, the well-known Cleaning Road, it's just about $3 away. So my father was, because he had an illness, not an illness really, but he had an ulcer. Not gastric ulcer, not pelvic ulcer, but it is a duodenal ulcer the size of a pinhead. You know what a pinhead? I'm not talking about thumbtack size. I'm talking about a pinhead, the one that you do your sewing. It's about the size of your blackhead on your face, if you have one. And it's just at the duodenum, it's just at the entrance of the stomach to the small intestine. So when he took food, it goes past, when food is churned in the stomach, and then he pushed it out to the small intestine, it hurt him so much. And back then, in the 40s and 50s, that was the only you have in is an x-ray. And there's no way that you can find out what's wrong with it in the tummy. And they actually couldn't detect because it was so small they couldn't see a thing. It was only in the late 60s. In the middle of 60, then Brigham Young X-ray came into, you know, into the market with his medical science. And I drink a glass of beer and meal and then coated the whole stomach and the duodenum, and they took an X-ray and they saw that pinhead right there. And that little thing troubled him so much that, of course, at that time he took this painkiller and he vomited. It was so painful. He was hunkered up and all that. So they introduced him to opium smoking to ease the pain. Opium is a very strong analgesic, a painkiller. So when he went into that, he wasn't taking care of his business. And so he went down. So my mind went back to the day when I was there. That's just not why they call me also so, as you know, my nickname being so so going around, you know, as a little kid. You know, and 5, 6, 7 years old, running around. Then when that grocery shop went kaput, my father was trying to survive. He was still having that ounce of pain, you know. Trying to survive. He was only in the late 60s when I was in the nursing, when I was doing my nursing, then that he went for an operation. But at that time now, since the grocery shop went kaput, there was a transition between Lim Yew Hock to the present day government. And under Lim Yew Hock, there's corruption, a lot of corruption. And so my father set up a shop where he played pinball. You know what pinball machine is? Probably you don't have it in Singapore now. I don't see that you have a pinball machine in Singapore where a shop, except for you go to the arcade and just play for fun. But those days you have pinball. See, he would have pinball machine there in the shop and you play with it, and when you get to a 3 in a row, 4 in a row, and you get some dollars. You know. So from that shop of Clean Road, we transferred over. He had one over in Serangoon Garden. You know where Serangoon Garden is? And that time, was young, with just a little circle, in the roundabout there, Serangoon Garden, and some shops here and there. And there was a cinema there, and my father's shop was there too. And I went there, just look out there. And I would go into that cinema, because the door attendant, you know, received the ticket, knows me. What you call it, usher, whatever you call him, you know, ticket collectors. So he was in the mechanism now. I just went in and just have a look at the movie and things like that. I was young, but there is a lot of things over back in the 50s. Now back in the 50s, music and songs are very simple. You all know that, don't you? Are very simple. You know, and the churches at that time find that simple song, even pop song, they consider it evil. But look at the music of today. Back in my time when I was young, you have this band called the Shadows, and even Singapore, I don't know what they have on this group. They, even if they have band, they would stand down there before the mic and they would just strum the guitar and sing. Maybe they just move something like that. Something. But today they are wall on the stage. And you have these ops of light flashing a laser here and there, and people are yelling and things like that, right? And they're crazy and they rap music today. Even gospel songs are even being done by rap. Which are okay to me as long as you rap it nicely, you know, slowly. I don't understand what they are saying. I couldn't even, you know, you have to try to slow down the message of another this fellow is talking about or singing about. And yet you compare today back in the early 20th century. What do we have? A whole lot of difference, isn't it? Huh? Here is a song that I remember. It goes in my head. I remember the song, and I remember the first few lines of the song. And the title of this message today, while I was lying in bed, I just said, okay, I need a title. The title is Rainbow. But I think that this song you probably don't know. Let me just sing the first line or two lines to you. It's called Rainbow, Rainbow. Rainbow. Rainbow, I'm saving my money to buy you a rainbow, and after I buy you the rainbow, I'll go out and I buy you the moon. You know, so that was the song that, it was going around my mind, because in those days, this kind of music that you have, simple romantic music, Nice story about love, nice story about romance, all about life, like a lot of what we call country music. Right. So now you compare today back to the yesteryears. Whole lot of different. You know that, don't you? So I remember when I was in a denomination, in the Baptist church. When we go to church, we sing. There's no clapping of hands. There's no anyone saying, praise the Lord, or amen. And when I was in the Pentecostal Assemblies of God Church, yes, beginning it was Pentecostal, because the outpouring of Holy Spirit was out in the early 20th century. People would say, praise the Lord, amen. Right. Yes. But today, what do we see? Huh? Back in those days, as I said, the Presbyterian Church in Singapore would consider pop songs of Cliff Richard, Pat Boone as being holy. That is the standard of their thinking. Preachers pop from his popular song. It's not rock and roll, yeah, rock and roll, your hip and your pelvis or whatever, and all that sort of, not that kind of song. But today, we see not only that the church has to take a turn, right? They say that in background that we don't want rock music in the church too. But today we have the charismatic churches having rock music in their church now. Not only that, they have become very wild. Isn't it true? The Assemblies of God I was in, back in the 50s, 60s, we were fighting against ecumenism. But now, today, they are now a member of the World Council of Churches, National Council, the Ecumenical Movement. So, Pentecostal Church has become, well, charismatic. They are mixed together now. But not only that, there is a new movement that has been on for the last 10 years. It's called the Hipster Church. How many of you have heard it? Those who are there, they call themselves hipster Christian or Christian hipster, whichever way they want to put it. Alright, let me show you this then. Now, this is from the report, I got it from the from the internet. Say goodbye to old school church services and hello to the new age of Christianity. While your pastor is hot and the music is festival worthy. W Magazine's Sarah Brown gives us the rundown on Toronto hipster church. You just see the image, you know how it's like. Okay? It's Sunday morning and there is a flock of cool kids. Cool kids. Cool man. You know how they talk? Cool man. It's Sunday morning and there's a flock of cool kids in ripped jeans on the stoop of Central Tech on Hobart Street. It's hard to see what all the commotion is about. But there is an intoxicating buzz in the air that feels like a not-so-secret speakeasy in Kensington. Shuffling towards the auditorium, a Spanish woman in a fedora announces. Fedora is a special head. Huh? Fedora announces, the service is about to start. Yeah! Surrounded by a mob of fashionable young people, I take a seat in the front row as a band the size of Arcade Fire sings uplifting rock anthems about Jesus on the stage with a smoke machine and blue neon lights. That's when I suddenly feel his presence. But his presence isn't Jesus, per se. It's a hunky Aussies. That's the senior pastor at Toronto's all-inclusive church, Christian City Church. On stage, 31-year-old Sam Picken is greeted with the enthusiasm of a celebrity, Tiff, citing at the LCBO, whatever that is. A grown man in a Wu-Tang t-shirt squeals, jumping up and down like the bass is about to drop at the tux. I loosen my choker and I wipe my eyes to double check. It isn't God's Almighty Son standing in front of me. No, it can't be, but yet it is. He's handsome. That dude with the eyes of GQ covered model. Is Jesus wearing top man? My eyes start to tear up and I'm buzzing with renewed Holy Spirit. I can feel it in my entire body. I think I'm going to spit it. If you haven't heard about C3 Church, it's a global church movement with a reputation for super attractive Jesus loving humans. Like Hillsong, world famous, studied all in Australia, all over the world now. The NYC church blessed by holy boy Justin Bieber. Well, Toronto has its very own church with a pastor that is sexier than Jesus and Justin combined. Unlike old school church services, C3 has rebranded Christianity with dread theme advertising, targeting a multicultural crowd of entrepreneurs, musicians, artists, photographers, and marketing professionals that are rediscovering spirituality with the guarantee of dancing, artisanal coffee, and fast friendship. Think as SW meets Christianity. I don't know what that is. Tag forward and interactive with a new age kumbaya vibe. It's a kind of a sort of cool. Well, here it is. September 2010. Christianity Magazine today. Jesus looks cool. The icon, the ironic world of hipster faith. Huh? Well, now here we are. Can hipster Christianity save churches from decline? Hipster, man with the Holy Bible in his hand, with all that tattoo. Well, I understand, you know, if he was a gangster or a tattoo guy and came to Jesus Christ, that's fine. But no, the hipster church Christianity is such that people don't change. Alright, so now, we're not going to talk about the hipster church. We're going to talk about the reality of the rainbow. Rainbow. You know, I don't care what the devil is doing out there in the world, because after all, that is his world, not my world. You understand? What the devil is doing out there in the world, I couldn't care less. Neither should you. Because this world is not our home, we are simply passing through. And what is our world? Our world is in the realm of God's word. That's what our world is. I don't know about your reality of God and how close you are in your walk with God. I can go back in my early childhood there, I could go back all those years that I have been a Christian, and I can see the hand of God in my life. There were times I failed, and there were times that He dealt with me, the time when He chastised me, and I would go on my knee and I cry and repent. And the time when He dealt with my life blesses me, because I walk with Him. There's no reality in Christianity if your life is not with the Word. Hipster church is abundant. People go there in jeans, ripped jeans and wearing miniskirt, just like that 2 weeks ago. You see, the man came here wearing shorts. He was supposed to go to that church. People go to church in what? Short pants, wearing slippers. You know, they are going back to the days of the hippies in America. All the thing, the phenomena that happens bad, also in America, Europe, England. Those were the countries, brothers and sisters, they originally were known as Christian country. People who bear the Bibles. And they have exported all the junk out into the world. right. And God's judgment is upon America and even Europe. Here we are, privileged people to know the Word of God in a country that gives us this freedom. A country that governs such a way that we respect one another, we respect other religions. But for us, we want to walk in the light of God's will. Alright, so it says that hipsters, can hipsters' church see the decline of Christianity? Is Christianity on the decline? Yes! The answer is yes. Christianity is on the decline. Because we are living in the last church and the Bible already prophesied. Isn't it true in the book of Revelation? We are living in the Laodicean age. The light is going out. But there is only a small little light of people that are being held up by people in this world of darkness. Yes, the church is on the decline. The hipsters just can save people. Yeah, they may attract lots of people. The Hillsong Church in 10 years, just what happened in Singapore here, in the city harvest. Charismaticism. Hipster church is not even charismatic. But it is in spirit. It's anything goes. What do you go when you do? When you go there, what do? There's a lot of yelling, a lot of preaching, everybody's yelling and things like that. And even today in the Branhamite Church, there is one in the last week, few days, last week. Several one sent me about this apostle in South Africa called Roscoe. Well, you can go on the internet and look at it for yourself. They were jumping and they were singing, Elohim Roscoe! Elohim Roscoe! So that Roscoe is their God. And the pastor, he wanted to be a God, wanted to be worshipped. You know? And then yesterday I happened to be, somebody sent me a link and I look at it and I went to other link on the site and then YouTube. I said, no, when you look at a video there on the site, you have other things. And then there was one that, no preacher. He always trying to expose the errors of the Quran and the Islamic faith. And that was, there was on this particular site, there was a debate between him and a Muslim man. A public debate. It was 2 hours. Of course, I didn't look at it all. And what was the thing? Is Trinity divinely inspired? The Muslim man is asking his preacher to prove it from the scripture. Well, of course, you know, the whole thing is it's just a lot of traditional teaching, as you know, about Trinity. And try to prove Trinity from the Bible. And the Muslim man says, the Bible, you look at it properly, there's no Trinity. So, what's with the church today? Declining 100%. But what about us? Because God is not looking at a group of people. God is looking at individual person. Your life. God is interested in your individual life. Dealing with you individually. He doesn't deal with a group. Never was. You read the Bible and never have been. That's why in the days of the early church, when the Gentiles came into the gospel, the Jewish apostles, they couldn't understand what's going on. How could it be? And they have to call for the council to discuss over it. And God is not in it. You know? They began to give them the law. Men were fair as a group. God is looking, God is dealing with you individually and deal with yourself. And we want you to get in line with the Word. So, no matter what, people's lifestyle are changing. Yes? They will change. Even the church will change. Technology changed. I was amazed by technology. Huh? Look at your computer, mine. The first time I bought my computer was a CPU. You put a floppy in, you know? You know those days, put a floppy in.
What do you have? And the machine that costs almost $4,000 and you have nothing but a bulky little screen and you switch it on, you get a carrot sign with a seafront. What do you want to do? You love what I'm supposed to do. You see. But what happened today? One year after another, computer starts changing. Until today, you have not a computer, but a little tablet here in your hand.
Technology change. Medical science change. Yesterday, I went for a seminar just to hear a talk about eye problem, cataract, glaucoma, and all this sort of thing. I couldn't believe the technology that they have today. Instead of using your hand to cut your eye to remove the cataract, eye lens, everything is done by a machine. The hand that you won't touch it, only key in and just do it. The computer will do it all for you. Imagine that. Unbelievable technology. Huh? So, the world changing, lifestyle will change, right? The church will change. So they want to upgrade the church and update the church. Sure, they want to do that, isn't it? So that's what they are doing. Come as you are. Yes, the Bible says, yeah, Jesus bringing you come as you are, right? But he expects you to come as you are and change. Receive the Holy Spirit and change. Not come in as you are. Oh, I feel the emotion. I want to come to the altar. Say, Lord, I repent of my sin. I want to go to the water. A few days later, a few weeks later, maybe a few months later, that's no different in the life. And what are us Christians? Our God is good. Genesis chapter 9. I want you all to be ready with the Bible. Because I want you all to read, because I'm not going to read. Today, just anything about the rainbow. What is the rainbow all about? Genesis 9, verse 12 to 16. Brother Henry can read this chapter. Genesis 9, verse 12 to 16.
Genesis 9. And God said, this is a token of a covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And water shall no more become flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. And I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth.
Amen. So, first time the rainbow ever was sent in the sky. Because by those days, before there was ever any rain, there was no rainbow. So when after the 40-day, 40-night flood and of the earth, then when the earth was dried up, then God set this rainbow in the sky. So you know what a rainbow is? It's a bow. You know why it's called a bow? Because it doesn't look like a bow. Have you ever seen a rainbow that is half a bow? Yeah, you have. Huh? Why do you only see half a bow? Because God doesn't, you know, when God made a covenant with it, Noah, he set the bow in the sky. And that's God's covenant. And if God's covenant is a full bow, it cannot be half a bow. So when you see half a bow in the sky, it's because you're not in the right position. The bow has been covered by cloud somewhere, and you only see half a bow. Depends on where you are. How many of you have seen a round bow? A bow is completely round. You only see it when you're up there in the air. You cannot see it on the earth. That's called a glory bow. It's completely round. So when God make this covenant, must understand that it is a full covenant, that God will keep a covenant, that God will keep is a contract between God and you. And God will not break this covenant. Now, we want to go into and look at how many times we have in our life that we have not our prayer answered. Now many of us, we pray and say, Lord, this and that. How come our prayer is not answered? Because the reason why is because there need to be a requirement on our part. And sometimes we don't think much about requirement. And we just simply say, I believe the Bible. Now the song says, only believe, only. Yeah, Lord, I believe. So I claim it. And you just simply say, I believe and I claim it. But on your part, you don't really fulfill the requirement that God wants you to fulfill. And you expect to claim something that you don't fulfill. Huh? So it's how you believe or what you believe that's important. But sometimes, miracles do happen to different people. Whether you're Christian or not Christian, miracles do happen. Because it's God's grace. As God in the Bible said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Even God will be gracious to a Muslim, to a Hindu, to a Buddhist, to anyone. But when it comes to His people, who are His people, He deals with them differently. Because why? They have the Word of God. That's the difference. That's the way the day of judgment, the great white throne, those who are not the gospel will not be judged by the gospel. Those who do not have the law of God will not be judged by the law of God. Do you understand this? Maybe if I ask me, how are they going to be judged then? Simple. For we are all born with a conscience. Because the conscience will teach you already. You don't need the Lord God of the Bible to tell you that. Huh? So I'm not a Christian. I don't know the Bible. I don't know the law. Yeah, but we are born with a conscience. So God will judge your conscience to that. So, when God put a covenant for Noah, He make a promise. And He will keep that promise. And to this day, since the flood, the earth have never had this massive flood that destroyed the earth. But the Bible later in the New Testament, it says that God is going to judge this world by fire. As water will be opposite to fire. Huh? So now, when we come to as being a Christian, we are talking about Christian believers now. We are talking about you and me, we are believers of the Word of God. So when God deals with us, there is a requirement, there are conditions. And every time God stipulates something, a promise to you, those promises are not difficult to keep. Do you know that? They are not difficult to keep. Even as the Bible said about the trial of our faith. Sometimes it seems the trial is very hard. But the Bible said there is nothing that can overtake you. That God, without His grace, has given you the strength to overcome it. But the only problem is that we are looking at the problem and make it so big and bigger that every day when you look at it, the more you pay attention to that problem, it gets very big. That's right. And now I'm not talking about you being, I'm not asking you to be religious. I'm asking you to be spiritual, to look at the things of God. Remember the days of Jesus Christ. Look at the Pharisees, look at the Sadducees. They are so religious. Oh! You call yourself the Son of God, and you and your disciple go out there in the field. And you pluck the grain and you eat it, and you never wash your hand before you eat. What's wrong with it? If I take a dumpling on my hand and eat it, is there something wrong with it? Is it dirty? Is it so dirty? How many of you drop something on the floor, pick it up and eat it? I did, many times. It doesn't kill me. As long as you don't drop in the drain. Sometimes we get to all the stage where we are so paranoid about things around us. Don't touch you, don't touch them, all this thing. Yeah. You know, so God has given us the faith, and if we are worrying about all these things unnecessarily, then what is faith? What is faith? You know, as I went for this seminar talk about cataract and glaucoma and LASIK. Fantastic technology. No, there were almost of us, most of the audience are elderly folks, and there are some young ones, 20s, 30s, they are having glasses, so they want to have it listed, you know. So when I came out, I was talking to a couple, and I asked, are you going to do it? I said, no, my cataract, I'm not worrying so much about it. I just come to know, just see what the technology they have it. But I'm keeping my faith. They say, medical science says, cataract cannot be dissolved by itself because it's protein, it hardens. But to me, this cataract of mine is going to be very funny. The first time when I had it, 2 years or so ago, it looked like a little lollipop blocking my view. I said, what is that? I couldn't see, you know? I thought something was sticking to my eyes, so I rubbed it. No, it didn't go away. So, I put some eye drop, some cataract remover eye drop, whatever they said it. Oh, it smudges very bad. Turned it on, okay. I don't know what happened to it, still the same, you see. Then I'm now taking organic wheatgrass that's supposed to help. And I've been taking it for the last, whole year last year. And what happened to my cataract? Well, I have no problem looking now. It looks everything, this feels okay, looks fine. You know. So, I believe there is an answer for everything natural, you know. So now I'm maintaining my health. Don't eat the wrong, too many of those bad stuff that affect your body health and things like that. And the doctor said, medical science said, when you are 50, 40, 50 years and above, from that time, you will all develop cataract. There are young people, there are a lot of young people having cataract too. But by the time you are 50 years old, guarantee you will have cataract. Like it or not, they say. But it's not always true, you know. But why do I worry? No, I'm not worried too much. When it's bad, then it's bad. When it's good, I thank God for it. So now, go to Mark chapter 9, verse 23.
Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes.
Simple, straightforward statement uttered by Christ. Right? Only believe. But how many times, honestly? Alright. Don't put out your hand, it's not true. How many times in your life that you have prayed to the Lord for certain thing and it seemed that God did not answer your prayer, but you say, I believe, Lord, I'm still not receiving. How many of you have been through that experience? Come on. But only one. How? The rest got so much faith. Yeah, many times we pray and all these things doesn't seem to work. Huh? So Lord, I believe. But I said many times we always think that we wanted God to deal with us according to our stipulation. Right now. But see, God's dealing with us is that it is always in His time. The Bible teaches us in His time. When the fullness of time is come, God sent forth the Son, right? When the fullness of the Gentile is fulfilled, then the gospel will go back to the Jew. Not our time. But all you have to do is that you believe. And God is watching your faith. How you believe in Him. Whether you keep your sight of the bargain for the condition that He stipulated. You should understand that. James chapter 2, verse 17 to 26.
James chapter 2, verse 17 to 26. Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Yeah, your body, if there's no spirit in the body, you're dead. You're all a child that is born into the world. If he doesn't cry and suck in the air and the spirit of life enters in, the body is dead. There's no life. And so, the example was given here. Abraham was justified. He was imputed righteousness because what? He obeyed the word of God. Sacrifice thy son, thy only son. Go to Mount Moriah and do it. And he did. And God stayed his hand. I know. I know you are faithful. I know you believe in me. I know you're obedient. You will not hesitate to do what I told you, what I tell you to do. You see, Abraham believed in God. But when you believe in God, when God tells you something or demands something, it must be carried out. Now you're always hipster church. Now I'm not worried about the denomination. They're already in their tradition so deep. But here you comes for this hipster church. And Christian hipster, hipster Christian, whichever they want to call it. Are they really Christian people? Or are they because it is a social thing? It is fun to go to a place where there are lots of people. So just for example, New Year's Eve. It was raining the whole day, into the night, and people are expected to go, many are already planned to go to the city in the middle of the bay to watch the firework, right? But it didn't dampen down. They went there with the brolly, they went there with poncho, and everything, they were all prepared. Wow, they want to mix with the crowd. They want to see the firework. How many of you have seen firework up close? Come on. Firework, I never seen a firework up close. Well, after that, boom, you can smell all the powder. You know? But if you have seen it once, you have seen it all. You know, I have seen it once, twice, you know. You happen to be there, just stand and see and watch it. But for me to go there, even in this rain, what is that? You see, there are people that want to socialize. Okay, you put an advertisement in your paper, Orchard Road, downtown. This Sunday, road are blocking, are blocked up. And there will be all kinds of things going on, you know, all kinds of facilities and all kinds of plays and all kinds of whatever, fun. You see a lot of people will go. And they will go down there casually, right? You don't have to wear a suit. No, you just go there casually. And this is what hipster church is like. And are these people Christian? Oh, Brother Gam, don't judge them. No, I'm not judging them, I'm asking a question. Bible tells them not all Israel are Israel. God said so. And not all Christians are Christian. That's a fact. Right? And there are a lot of Singaporean, they are not Singaporean. When it comes to national service, they are abscond. That's a fact of life. But the thing is this. We are looking at ourselves right now. If we are believers of the Word of God, what does the Word of God stipulate? When it comes to the faith, these people, they go having a lot of fun because there's a lot of dancing, a lot of singing, and rock music are all rock gospel or gospel rock. nice to sing, you know, they dance and jump and all that thing. No, it's not that they cannot jump and dance when you're already, you know, got the Holy Ghost too, but they're not coming, just emotion. That's why we sing charismaticism and Pentecostalism. That's why one Baptist man, pastor from Taiwan, came to Singapore. And he did a survey, he did an observation. He went, I don't know how long he spent in Singapore, go to all these churches, charismaticism, Pentecostalism, and watch the whole thing. And the result, he said, removed the rock music, play the hymns, and see how many people will stay. Think about it. Is it not true? And let the preacher preach the truth, and see how many people will stay. This brother in Guinea-Conakry, whom I met over in Belgium when he was there in the convention, didn't know anything about the message. He was a businessman, son, he's a second-hand cars, and he had a compassion for these orphans in the streets. So he ministered to the orphans, and with his own money he constructed a little orphanage and bring them there and, you know, minister to them. And under the World Food Organization or something, they supplied food for them. But what happened? They cut it off. After the Ebola issue was gone, no more food. That's the UN, this war organization. So he's on his own. And he has people in the church. I don't know how big the church was. But when he got this truth that I shared with him in Belgium, and he was rebaptized, he went back, he preached the truth to them, almost all of them disappeared. And he turned to me for help. He turned to me for help. And he's asking me to rebuild the orphanage because it's very old. Because the people love nobody to help you. Think about it. Preach the truth and see what happened. If I would stand in the pulpit in the traditional church and preach the truth, not even 5 minutes after the word, they do not heal, they kick me out. And that's what happened even in Malawi. The first time I was invited to this Brahmanite church, I stood up for 15 minutes telling them that Brother Brown was not the absolute disciple. They come up here and put me to where I said, you sit there. And I realized, well, this is not the first time. There are other times. Truth is not liked by people. Jesus Christ was almost stoned. They almost lay hand on him when he preached the truth. That he had to sneak out to preach another day. Because his time had not yet come for him to die. Truth is life, because the word of God is spirit and they are life. But these people, these churches, are they the truth? Or is it a social gathering? Hebrew chapter 11 verse 6. Hebrew chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So look at this verse. Without faith it is impossible to please him. Now he said, oh, I believe God. Yeah, that must be a revelation to you to say that you believe in God. But are you saying that because it was an emotional thing? You know, there was one video on YouTube about a debate between the atheist and a Christian preacher. The atheist was so confident, you know, that the question couldn't be answered. Who made God? You should see that YouTube. My, the man stood up there to tell that atheist, who made God? He spoke in such a way, very fast, very nicely paced. Everybody in the background was saying, yeah, because it was so simple and true. Huh? You go and see it. Google it. Who made God? Some day even the atheist was dumbfounded. God is not bound by time, space, and matter. God is outside of time, space, and matter. It's not bound in there. He's outside of it. And he's the one that brought all this into being. Huh? And I always, sometimes when I have pain in my body and this and that, and I just think about all these parts of my body. And I say, it's so wonderfully and beautifully made. The heart. Did anybody put a battery inside that? How does a heart pump by itself? It has to pump two, poop, poop, they're done. Blood goes in, blood pushed to the lungs, take the oxygen and push back to the heart and pump it around the other parts of the body. What causes that? How does it work? And there's a valve. Who made the valve? What? We come by itself? God have mercy upon those people. No wonder the Bible said, the fool says there's no God. Some people say, yeah, okay, I believe in God. I know there is God because of this creation, but I don't know, I don't understand. Why is he not showing himself in one way, this and way, and that way? I mean, that's your own thinking, like my half-brother. He said, yeah, there's God, okay, but which one? The Bible said you must have faith. Then you must have a revelation. No, okay, first of all, there is a God. And then he says what? He that come unto you must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Now, if you don't seek after him, if you don't diligently seek after him, what? Yeah, I know, I believe in you, Lord. I know there's God. Wherever you are, I don't know. But you're in the first place, you're not interested to really want to worship him. In the first place, you're not interested to really want to get to know him. I mean, like a man seeking for a wife. And a friend says, hey, there's a girl who's interested in you, you know. He's somewhere in your vicinity. You know her. You met her in the market sometime in a coffee shop. Really? But he's not interested in looking up for her. And here he says, I'm looking for a wife. So if you don't diligently seek for a person, how do you expect a person to come to you? God is always standing there. He says, whosoever will come. He's calling you, come. When he revealed that he exists, but many of us don't even bother. Acts 16:31.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
Simple word, believe. Can you believe? If thou can believe, all things are possible. Believe. But believe is a faith, eh? I believe. But you believe that it must be something that you do. Okay, let us continue with Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. All right, Brother KK, you can read Romans 10, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, and verse 13. Four verses.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Verse 30.
For whosoever shall call him upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Simple. Confession. Believe, you must confess. You must call upon his name. You must not be ashamed. Is that something as a secret Christian? You might be a second Christian when you are in danger in some country where anybody who is a Christian is cut off. And you want to be a secret Christian because you want to go and minister to other people. Like we have secret underground church in China. In those days also in many parts of Russia, they worship in secret. Because the authority was coming, is coming after them. We're coming after them. I remember back then in China, back then during the time of the communist regime. I mean, China is still communist, but capitalist more or less now, it's turning over. But in those days, you know how they worship? In a village. You know, only in a city. The churches are controlled by government. They're registered. Government recognized. The government want to know what the preacher is preaching. Yes. That's right. But if you're in the province, you always have the spies around. How do they worship? They worship in somebody's home. How did they go about doing it? Alright, they make an appointment of time where the service will start. And if they have, say, about 30 people, let's say they have it at 10 o'clock, 6 a.m., one person will go to the house, right? No, they'll be sitting in the house. Another 15 minutes more, or half an hour more, another one will come. But so that they will not arouse suspicion. So by the time 6 of people, one bound, go in, by the time they are 10 o'clock, they'll be in the courtyard. The doors are closed, everything, they're in a courtyard. You know, those are the Chinese people. Homes that have a courtyard with a wall, right? The doors are closed. And they will worship the Lord, they will sing. How do they sing? They sing with the mouth open, but the sound does not come out. Huh? Oh Lord my God. You know how that is? Think about it. And then they will have a session where someone will minister the word. And they'll pray. And after that, one by one, a person will go out. Within about 15, 20, 30 minutes. So they will not see a speech of five people coming out, 10 people coming out from the house, something is going on there. Those things. So you think about it. Well, you read about Richard Wurmbrand's story behind the Iron Curtain, how he suffered for Christ. My, that's what we call belief. He will declare himself to be. But when you are caught, when you are Christian, I know, and you are ashamed of the gospel, then you are ashamed of Christ. That is, therefore you are not a believer. But I might be put in jail. So, Jesus said, you suffer for me. But you are Paul. You suffered for me. What about the life of Paul? How many times was he shipwrecked? 3 times. How many times was he beaten? And how many times was he robbed? And left for dead probably on the highway somewhere, and somebody else came along and revived him. Look at the life of all the 11 disciples. Even including Matthias 12. They all died a martyr, beaten to death, hang on the cross upside down or be whipped. Except for John, who was the only one. He did not die a martyr death. Yet he suffered for Christ. Numbers 23:19. The Bible here said, God is not a man that he should lie. Have he said it and shall he not do it? Shall he not make it good? Numbers 23:19. Surely, isn't it true? God is not a man that he should lie. Only man will lie. God is not a man, therefore he does not lie. He said it, he will make it good. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 now. Alright? So once we got the key, once we got to know the requirements of what God demands, then we will receive the covenant or the promises that God promised to give us. So now, Ephesians 2a, what does it say? It says, by grace are you saved through faith. Am I alright? Okay. So now, what is this grace and this faith thing? It says, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So does it mean that when a rich man, well, let's say assuming that there is a farmer, and he had a piece of land and was not getting food because times were bad, and he has, you know, a wife and two children to take care, and he has very, very bare minimum to keep them going from day to day. You understand? Because the grain wasn't, the field wasn't producing much because his grain was no good. And well, now here come a rich man. A rich man gave this poor man a sack of premium grains. A sack of premium grains. And told the poor man, he said, well, you take this sack of grains and nourish your family. Do whatever you would. Do it nicely and feed your family. So what did he do? When he looked at the sack of grain, he says, wow, this is a nice grain and it will feed my family very well. At least we have some good food. But then when he descended later to sow it, because, you know, if he was to use that sack of grain, how long would it last? Maybe a month, and the whole sack of grain would be gone. So he decided to plant it. So when he planted, in 4 months, he got a nice harvest. Now, the question is, therefore, can he say, well, I got this fine harvest was because of my good work, my hard work. Can he say that? In the first place, he can't. Because it was the grace of that man to give him a sack of premium grain. And he can do whatever he wants with it, of course. But the intent of rich man was that nourish your family. If you want to consume it all that, just because you have nice sack of grain, you'll be over in a month. But if you want to plant and sow it, 4 months' time, you will get a big, nice harvest of crops that will last you for a year or more. So, can you say, because of my hard work? No. Did I earn it? Can you say, did I not earn all this because of my hard work? If it wasn't for the grace of the man to bring in that sack of grain, he would not have that in the first place. So, therefore, when you receive some blessing from the Lord, can you say that you earn it? No. Acts 2:38, what does it say? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can you say, I earn it because I walked into the water. And I came out, I received the Holy Ghost. Can you say you earn it? No, it is by grace. And what about grace? He gives you the faith. Faith is not yours. It is God that gives it to you. By grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That faith is given to you by the grace of God. People think that when they read the verse, oh, by grace, God give me the grace that I believe in Him. So here's my faith in Him. I earn it. The faith in yours, not to begin with, is not even yours. It was given to you to see and understand the truth, that you are a sinner, you need salvation, and God is there to give you the salvation. Right? And so, what is the key to the whole thing? Romans 14, verse 23. What does it say here? Romans 14, 23.
Brother John. But he who doth he is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin.
Yes. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is that, the word faith or the word belief is pistio, means to trust. Because God gives you the grace, gives you the faith for you to see Him as He is, a God who cares for you, a God who keeps His covenant, a God who will keep all the promises that He have uttered. That if you do whatever He so desired, stipulated, you will have it. But if you don't believe in it, it is sin. Now, all this one about all this hipster church and all this, wow, a lot of this trending going on. See what the Branhamism. It's all about William Branham. Faith not in the Word of God, but faith in William Branham. And just 2 days ago, my pile of folders on my table. You know, my house, my room is a mess. My office is actually a mess. There's 200-300 books in the shelf in the corner here under my table. And then I have boxes where, in those days when there's no email, it's all slow mail. All the letters are kept. And there are folders. So I was just, my plate was just mess. I tried to tidy out a bit. So I just take it out and pull them in. I just open this folder. And just to see what's in the folder. Well, there was an envelope with a greeting card from my daughter. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You know, back then when she was a teen. You know, and then on the page, there was a letter written by Brother Orsel back in 1994, I think. And I read that letter. It reminds me of what happened back then. And he was telling me what happened. He said, "But again, there was this American preacher missionary called Richard Muller. He came, and then he saw me having the book, your books. Well, he got very upset. And he went to this church of this brother and the church of another brother, and he collected those money, he burned it. Your book, Brother God, he burned your book." Wow. Why? You tell Brother Elsa, you should only have Brother Branham's book. Let me tell you, in my home, I got 200-300 books, and many of them are not William Branham's book. Because I read widely. I need to know. I want to know. Result to read is when you get our knowledge and understanding of things. Huh? The life of so many of the early true Christian men of God who stand for truth. But today, the charismatism go one way. All the other denominations are bound together under the World Council of Churches. The Bible talks about the image of the beast, and that's what they are. And they'll be burned up. I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about the spirit will be destroyed when Christ comes back. And then the people in the Branhamite system is all about William Branham. Yes. The world is a big mess. The church is declining. But we are God's people, we hold to the promise. We earn it because He gave it. We don't earn it. But this Christian, Hebrew Christian, all this, do they really, really love the Lord? If they do, they must follow through with the Word. Otherwise, you don't have it. Remember, we read earlier the verse. You must call upon the name of the Lord. You must believe. You must confess. You must call upon the name of the Lord. You cannot be ashamed. You must not be ashamed. Even in time, even a sister Huda. Never lose of it. The cancer was controlled. 1-2 years, he's come back again. He still hold on to the Lord. Barapia was telling me, the doctor said that you have to go home now and prepare for the worst. But she told her, yeah, had a vision. I dress in white. The Lord give it to me. And I'm going. I remember my mom sitting in a wheelchair. Brother Henry's home. When I went to look after her and they were working. She was sitting in a wheelchair and I was just sitting there waiting for Sister Joyce to come back home. And my mom was sitting right there and she was talking. She turned her head and talking to someone with a hand and mumbling something, and she took down and she looked and saw talking, you know. I know she was talking to somebody. And I went up to her and said, Mom, who are you talking to? And she said, I don't think you understand, huh? I don't think you understand. Don't you understand? And I realized she was talking to somebody. But I'm glad. Because, you know, she was not even scared. She was smiling. She was happy because she was in another realm. She was seeing vision. Even the one that God had given him when she was well. Before she had a fall. They caused her to be wheelchair bound. She was so excited when she came in the morning. So my eyes were open, you know, my eyes were open. I didn't sleep. I was in the living room. And I knew my mom. She came from a background of aspirin family. And yet, somehow, the sibling, uncle, auntie became Catholic. Got all of them. And my mom, I knew my mom loved the Lord. She just married my father, who's not a Christian. Just find love, you know. I don't know how this thing works, I don't know, but love is mine. And she started telling me about Jesus when I was a young fellow. Jesus was real to her. And she told me about Jesus. She told my sister, my brother, and we went to the Sunday school. My father tried to prevent us from going. But the time when I heard about Jesus, that name just attacked in my heart. Because I've already been looking at idols, sitting on an altar, doesn't move, doesn't speak, and we bow down to a dumb thing out there, that's God. No. I never do worship. The reality of God's calling, of giving you a revelation to know that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's why I went to church, I want to know more. And my mom, though she was a stubborn woman, oh, she was. Yet she never failed to read her Bible every night before she sleep and pray every night. And I know she's praying for us, children. When I talk to her about the truth, she doesn't want to believe. But you taught me a turn when her brother passed away. And she had done at the funeral, met a cousin. And she came back and talked to me. And I told her about the truth of her cousin, knowing the truth. But desire not to do it. She asked me further, why? What is all about? And I shared with her the word of baptism. What it should be done and how it should be done. And she says, yeah, she wants to come to the fellowship. She came. Then she said, you want to be baptized? And I told her, well, you know, you want to be going all the way? Remove your earring. Have your hair grow long. After all, she's already old. How long can her hair grow? But she got upset when I told her about the earring. And especially Asian people. The hearing is so important. In India, it's so important, right? Huh? Isn't it true? Every Indian little girl will have a ring. A earring, or whatever. You must see something upon a gold piece on this female. But you know, she got upset. She said, well, I told her, I said, I'm not the one telling you to remove it. I'm telling you what the Bible said. After 2-3 weeks, they say, okay. She took it off, okay. And that's why when she obeyed the Lord, that's why she gets this vision. Not just a night vision, and an open vision that God gave it to her. Because I know she loved the Lord, but she just stubborn, she goes this way and that way because all the family, all the, I mean, her sibling, her father's family, their influence with that. So what is reality? God promised the rainbow, not half a rainbow. And if you can believe it, but you won't see the whole glory bowl. And God did it for my mom. And for so many other people in the Bible. Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7. Whatever you sow, you must reap. Am I not right? Sure. So what do you want to sow? Want to sow to the Word of God? You will reap the Word of God. James 2, verse 21 to 23. Where we read earlier already. Abraham obeyed, and faith was made perfect, and therefore righteousness was imputed. Abraham believed in God, but believed in God not just it, yes, Lord, I believe, but he performed it. Faith without work is dead. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to heaven. But the Bible tells you other things to fulfill. If you love me, keep my command. Be baptized. Repent, be baptized. Call upon my name when you get baptized. And do not be ashamed of me. But I don't need to go to water baptism. See, there's a lot of these things that's going on in Christianity. Because Christianity has declined to that stage. Because men who so-called preacher, man of God, they call themselves, become so indoctrinated by tradition that they are just simply spreading tradition. Sad. No wonder the Bible calls us in this last day the Lutheran Church Age. You are naked. Yeah, you're rich in material things, but you are naked. And you don't even know it. Come now, buy me, go try in the fire. Do you want to go try in the fire? Huh? Not just believe and say with the mind believe, but confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And not be ashamed of him. Diligently seek after him. But I have been a Christian all these years. I was in the assemblies of God. I was waving the assemblies of God flag. Like crazy. I'm telling you that. And I've seen leaders in the church rise up. What happened to them today? How many preachers out there in Pentecost and charismatic that rise up within 10 years they became well known around the world? Like the one over there in Penang whom I baptized, and he turned around and spit upon this message. And went to charismaticism. And in a year, he had about 1,000 people. And in the next 1 or 2 years, he committed fornication. Stole $6 million and went to Australia. And I told him when he came up, when when I, as I said, when I went to that book fair to subscribe to Newsweek and Times magazine, it happened that he was there, and I stayed away because I don't want to talk to him. And he moved up, and I went up there. I said to the person who was attending to him, I said, "That is so and so, right? I don't mention the name." He said, "Yeah, how do you know him?" She was excited because he looked to him as some very great preacher, you know. And he wrote a book against William Branham too. I said, "I baptized him." "What, you baptized him?" I said, "No, we don't talk too much about this." Then he must have given my name, my address to him, and he wrote me a letter. He said, "Oh, really, then? Oh, once you know, let's come back, let's forget about the past, let us work together." And I told him, I wrote back to him, I said, "Look, if I want to go the way you are going, I would have been already in that way before you ever exist. I would have a church, 20,000 people, for the matter. By charismaticism is not the way I would go. Because there's a whole lot of lies in that. A lot of bad spirit in that." And I said, "You better be careful." A few years later, that's what happened. How many charismatic preachers have committed fornication, adultery? What is the love of God? Early, or is it because of love of money? Yeah. And that's what is going on over in Australia, in Africa, many nations out there. India, and even in the Philippines. May God have mercy. Matthew 7:7-8 says what? This is the verse I went to Italy. Simple words. Learn also what? Matthew 7:7-8. Read it. Follow it.
"Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened."
Yeah, simple, huh? Ask, and it shall be given. But I ask many times for my father and mother, but I'm not receiving. I'm seeking and they don't find. I know, but the heaven's not in the open. Did you fulfill your side of the bargain? Did you fulfill what God required? Now, how important it is that you not just open up. You want somebody to open up, you better bang at the door. You want heaven's door to open to you, you better hammer on that heaven's door often. Mean that you desire, you mean it. You desperately asking for it. You desperately seeking for it. Diligently. That's how God looks at me. Huh? Until God will give you the revelation, give you that blessing. Abraham was such a man. Sacrifice your son. Well, he must have gone through days. What's God doing to me? But I believe God. He said, "So I will do it. Anyone who is going up with his son up the hill. This 20-year-old son now. He's not a little boy. And so was one. He said, "Daddy, Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And he said, "The Lord will provide. Don't you worry. The Lord will provide." What a revelation. Amen. One up there lay up all that wood. So, "Son, you are the sacrifice." I said, "Look at the father. You said the Lord will provide, right?" The father said, "Yes, I did." "Let's do it." Have his hand bound, and he lay on that pile of wood. And Abraham was about to strike the blow to cut his throat. The Lord stopped him. And there among the thicker of the bush was a ram. The Lord provided. He said, "I can't offend the reality, the revelation." I mean, there are times, the pain I went through, the thing that I've committed, the sins that I've done, the weakness that fell upon me, the frustration, the sorrow. And yet, never a moment was there an absence of the presence of God. Sitting there, I can feel Him talking to me. You know. So, we are cursed, you know, as Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. The Spirit of God is not working. Take the word, fight it. Believe it. And then the rainbow will come in full. John 15:7. We are asked in faith, we will receive it. So what it is that, how do we receive? John 15:7.
Ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
If my words abide in you, the word of God do not abide in you, how do you expect God to operate in your life? You don't want the word of God in your life, so you expect God to bless you? What do you think about the Father? Look at my grandson. If he doesn't behave himself or obey the parents, it's a different story, huh? See, obedience to the word of God is so important. Deuteronomy 6:5-7.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
See? From morning to night. How important is the word of God? Jeremiah 10:23.
O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
See? It's not in man to direct his path in the right way. You know, we go where we want to. Man doesn't have a sense of direction. Especially come to think spiritual, come to do the thing that is right. Many times you want to do things the wrong way. Right. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his path, or his steps. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do we? Philippians, a few more verses we close. Just reading them. Philippians 4:48. Got it? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation is a word, self-control, moderation, your goodness, your appropriateness, you know. I mean, you know, as a Christian, we should live the life that is moderate, not a show up. Be simple, be appropriate. Modesty, that is to say, in a sense. Don't eat like a glutton. Don't behave like an idiot. Just sort of think, you know what I'm saying? That's what it means. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. For in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In verse 7 and 8, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice always. Don't worry about what is to come. What is going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen to me? Huh? And then if anything be a good virtue, think on those things. If anything have any praise to the Lord, think on those things. Let your mind always be in the Lord. Let the smile of Christ be new at all times. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fears. Because fear hath torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. Do you have fear about what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you have fear that you fail an exam? Do you have fear that you're going to get disease? What? If you have all this fear, you can't be make perfect in love, you know. You cannot have peace. To have peace, you need to rejoice. I learned that when I was in Africa. No problem like that, no problem. Yeah. Hakuna Matata. No problem. No worry. They just don't worry. The simple life. Bus don't come, van don't come to the airport. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Because when I'm going to be done, make sure I catch the plane to go to another place to minister. Don't worry, Brother Yang. So, okay, I surrender. 2 Timothy 1:7.
For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Right. No fear. I fear I might lose my exam. I fear my exam. What happened? So if you fail, fail then. Take it another time, right? Yeah, I failed my exam, I failed my English. Bad time, that was bad teacher at that time, couldn't care less either. I got very good mind in all my subjects, but English, no English, bad. You don't get a full cert. So what to do? Bad times, don't go to work. Work, and then study at the same time to go sit for the private candidate examination. Not pass for English, but I think got a full certificate. Why? Because no grouping. What? And everything within the good grade and no grouping. Now I forget about it. Be a salesman, be this, be that, going to nursing, okay now. God says I have a plan for you. You want to be a teacher. I want to be a teacher. So you want also to be a technician too. That's what I desire. If I cannot be a teacher, I'll be a technician. That's no way for you. Okay. So finally, God was directing my path. You see, when you love the Lord can make a mess of your life for your own good. Ha ha! Think about it. Last verse. Psalms 37 and verse 5, 3 to 5. Psalms 37, 3 to 5. And it says here, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, always in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Three words, trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your ways in the Lord. Everything you commit to the Lord. Three things. Can we do that? The Lord said, can you trust me? Can you trust me? Sometimes it's very difficult, Lord. You say, right? Can you trust in him? But sometimes we want the things in our own hand. Can you delight in him when times are bad? Can I just delight in him when, when home was crazy? Can we commit ourselves everything to him? I pray you do. So that in the end, when you have this abiding word of God in our life, doing all these things, ask what you will, and he'll give it to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and He will be open unto us. I believe that. And it's a matter of learning obedience in Him. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace now. We bear witness, Father, to thy word of truth. For the things that you have done in our life, Father. But we know that you are teaching us more things now. You want us to be fully committed, O Father, in our life to you. You do not want us, surely, Lord, to be like the people of the world, not even to be light. What's out there in Christianity? For it truly is a mess, Father. Everyone going to his own way, into deep tradition, into all those things that are not of the Holy Word. You have called us out, therefore, Father, help us to walk and continue to walk in thy word. And let thy word abide in us, Lord. Helping us, Father, in our lives as we trust in you. And as we delight in you, in thy word. And also to commit ourselves fully in you. Living all things that, Lord, the desire of the heart will come to pass. When we fulfill all that you require, that is required of us, Father. And we shall see the rainbow. And not just a bow, Father, a glory bow. For it will be true one of these days, Father, when we see Christ face to face. When all these things, O Father, that you have given us to see, and as we walk in this journey upward, on the upward path, Lord, to meet Christ in the air, we are on our way to perfection. And we thank you, Father, for your grace to bearing our lives in your hand. We thank you, Father. Bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.